All right, welcome Teresa and Karen, I assume. I want you to look in 1 John 1. These are scriptures you should be familiar with by now, but I want to read the first two chapters at least and talk about some of this. Now John, this is the Apostle John. Verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. This is kind of reminiscent of what Peter said, right? 2 Peter chapter 1. We were there, we were eyewitnesses, we seen it. You know, you do well to pay attention to our testimony as a lamp in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. He goes, it's our experience, and that's what John is saying. This is what we experienced. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard and seen with our eyes and have looked at and our hands have touched, this is what we proclaim concerning the word of life. In other words, this is our experience, this is what we know. The life appeared, we have seen it, and testify to it. We proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. Already, he's establishing something about the nature of the gospel. You see that? This nature is beyond the realm of what is natural. This is the supernatural. This is eternal. Life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We write this to make our joy complete. We write this to make our joy complete. Oh, I skipped a verse. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we write this to make our joy complete. Now, not only has he established that this is his experience, that this was a shared experience, but it was a supernatural one. And now he's inviting you into this fellowship to share in this experience. Now, in order, this is what we have been contending, and this is what we've been talking about the past two times we've been on. In order to walk according to the supernatural, you have to be a member. You have to be a sharer in this fellowship. You have to be a sharer. And what does that involve? That involves an experience, doesn't it? See, it was never a matter of just words. It was never just a matter of you taking someone's word for it. When we look at the idea of Jesus' body. Jesus is the Word of God, right? In the beginning was John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the Word. The Word became flesh. Well, we know that the Word, Jesus, was planted in a tomb. In the same way, the Word is planted in your heart. Paul the Apostle knew this. As a doctor of the law, he had learned the law. He knew the law. He didn't understand it. But he knew it. It was in him. But it was dead. Just like Jesus' body was put in the tomb, dead. The Word was planted into a tomb, right? Jesus was put in the tomb just like the Word is planted in a person's heart. For the word to bear fruit, it needs to be quickened. Right? This is something that's all a part of the very nature of the pattern of creation and the very nature of how God creates. Just like the female has the eggs and the men must fertilize them, right? They must be quickened. Everybody see that? They're dead unless they're quickened. Jesus' body was in the grave and it was quickened by the Holy Ghost and he rose again. The word is planted in your heart. It must be quickened. You must experience the power of God is the point. It's not just a matter of you learning what the Bible says. How will you ever understand it? How will it ever bear fruit in you if it's not quickened? And this is kind of the problem. Church after church after church, Christian after Christian after Christian, in these days, they are learning, and this is what it means to be ever learning, but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. But this is what it means to be ever learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. These people have not just been taught, they have not shared it in any experience. Like the Apostle John is inviting you into here. All they've heard is words. All that has happened with them is they have been programmed. They've been programmed. They've been indoctrinated. And this is what we've got to understand, the difference between the experience of coming to know God, of meeting God, and being indoctrinated. So what we know, what we need to do is to understand, that make sure that we understand the difference between being indoctrinated, programmed, taught a bunch of words, taught a story, and actually having a real experience with God. We know the difference. Now, what was John the Apostle promoting here? Listen again. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. Life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. So he's inviting you into the experience of this fellowship. It is something that you must actually enter into. It's not an indoctrination. It's an experience. The Holy Spirit can make it as if you were there. How many of you believe that? The Holy Spirit, that earnest of that life, of the eternal life that is given to you, is designed to make the words alive in you as if you were there, to make you a witness of not only Jesus' death, but his resurrection. And let me explain how this works. You see, when you die with Christ, you become a witness of his death. So what has to happen beyond indoctrination into a religion is that you must be brought into this through an experience with God. a fellowship. Enter into a real fellowship with God, with the living God. The Holy Spirit is able to make it as if you were a witness to both Jesus' death and his resurrection, to make it as if you were there. Now examine what this means. If you die with Christ through faith, then you become a witness to his death on the cross, don't you? It's not just words anymore. If you've experienced that death with Christ, you become a witness to that death. And if you experience his quickening power to overcome sin and to overcome death, you become a witness to his resurrection. See, the Holy Spirit can make it that experience as if you were there to witness it, to make it living in you. And this is the power that is in agape. This is the power in the way that we're to walk according to the Spirit. This is the power by what we preach the gospel, so we, like John the Apostle, can say what we're proclaiming to you is not just words that some man taught us. That which was from the beginning, which we heard and which we've seen with our eyes and looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim to you concerning the word of life. And if you cannot proclaim the gospel in that way, it's because you do not know him. It is because you have not had that experience. It's because the Holy Spirit has not quickened the word in you to life. See, there's a difference between that kind of Christian and the other kind, right? So John comes at it so you can test this, to test whether or not you've shared in this experience. Look at the next verse. This is the message we've heard from him, and we declare to you, God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. Look at what it's saying. If we claim to have fellowship with him, that's the experience, but yet we walk in darkness. Let me tell you about darkness. We're not just talking about walking in sin and not being able to overcome sin and overcome your own evil desires. We're also talking about walking in ignorance, because that is darkness. How many Christians do you know are walking in darkness and calling it light? We were just talking about all these evil teachers teaching out of lust. These are the things they're learning. The people who are listening to them are walking in darkness. The people who are chasing profit and chasing money are walking in darkness. They are ignorant of God's love, and they are ignorant of God's power. If I walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. See, that's our fellowship. Coming to the light is not only coming to show that what you're of is God. You're honest and you're transparent. But it's also showing that you're of the knowledge of Christ. Right? The light. You're not in ignorance. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. See, that's coming to the light, is acknowledging what you are apart from Christ. But you know what? You can't acknowledge what you are, and this is real important. You cannot acknowledge what you are apart from Christ if you haven't met Christ, because then you don't know what you're talking about. If you haven't shared in that fellowship, if you have not shared in this experience, if you have not come to know him in that way, then how can you possibly know what the truth is? To really know that you're a sinner has never been a matter of somebody else telling you you are. Do you understand that? How many of you know that? It's never been a matter of just somebody else telling you you are. You had to own it. You had to admit to it. You had to face that truth. Right? You had to experience that. Is that true or not true? That's why these prayers of just say the prayer after me doesn't work that way. Because it's not a matter what another person believes about your heart. It's about what you know, what has been revealed to you through that fellowship. When Peter realized who he was dealing with, when it was more than just some man, when he come up after he'd seen that great catch, when Jesus told them to throw their nets on the other side of the boat, he come and he fell down before him. He said, "Leave me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." See, he had that experience, huh? It wasn't just words to Peter. He had something to compare it to. He had something to compare himself to. He looked at himself and he looked at Jesus and he realized who he was dealing with and he fell to his knees and said, "Leave me, I'm a sinful man." That wasn't just words, that was an experience. Has you meeting Jesus produced an experience like that in you? To where you know for a fact what you were apart from him? What we would all be apart from him? To where you know it beyond just words somebody told you? More than just a concept, you know. You felt it. You experienced it. And then and as strong as that experience was, the next experience of receiving his forgiveness. Even stronger, isn't it? To know you have been forgiven of your sin. That's not just words. That's not just a concept that you got to get your mind around. That's not a concept that you got to talk yourself into. That is the process of you meeting Jesus and receiving what he offers. That's an experience, isn't it? That's part of the fellowship. That's part of what it takes to enter into fellowship with God. Understand what the apostle is saying here. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. I'm telling you that you're going to remain deceived about where your heart is if you do not meet Jesus. If it's just words, if it's just concepts, if it's just an idea. Until this becomes a real experience, you're going to remain deceived about who you really are. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, and he'll forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And that is the benefit of what? Being in fellowship with God. Right? Because being in fellowship with God, he is able to burn this out of you. That's experience again, isn't it? Not just words. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, how is that ever going to become real to you? Think about it. How is it ever going to be more than a story that you heard in church? How is it ever going to become more than any of the other religions that we have in this world? Because every religion, apart from true Christianity, is passed down, men telling other men, making other men submit to them, manipulating other men, lying to other men, twisting other things, bending their backs with tradition, culture, pressuring them with all kinds of peer pressure to accept something that's just a bunch of words. To accept something, and they don't care whether you really understand it or not, as long as you look like to everyone else, you're toeing the line. Right? But in Christianity, all of that is useless. You have to really have experienced God for it to matter. It has to be real to you because you know him, not just because you know something about him. How will you ever believe that Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for your sin if you don't know what it is to die with Christ? If you don't know what it is to live with Christ? If you don't know what it is to see that baptism of water that you did played out in your life inside you? To die to what was bad and to rise to what was good. If you've never experienced that power of change, then how will you really know that Jesus is the sacrifice for your sins? Do you understand what I'm saying? It's got to be more than words. And only the power of God can make it so. We know we have come to know him if we keep his commands. You know what that means? That doesn't mean I went out real hard and kept his commands, so this proves I know him. That's not what it's saying. If you know him, guess what? You do keep his commands. Why? Because it is no longer you who live, but Christ who lives in you. So who's keeping those commands? Christ. If you have died with Christ, and Christ has risen in you, and that experience was what really happened to you, guess what? You know you belong to him because you keep his commands. You know you love him because you keep his commands. Because that is an offshoot of being in fellowship with God. That's not something you try real hard to do. Do you understand? That's what God does through you. That's why it's a test of whether or not you belong to him. Because if you're walking according to the nature of the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. If you're walking according to the nature of the Spirit, you will please God. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. See, you have a test, don't you? If you say you belong to God, but you're still out there stealing and doping and whatever it is, then you have not entered into that fellowship. It's just words, and you're lying to yourself. You can try as hard as you want to believe words, but it'll never be enough. You can try as hard as you want to produce faith in things you want to have, in things you desire to believe, but you'll never do it. Faith will come from you knowing who it is you believe. Do you hear me? And how can you truly know this atonement for your sins if you've not entered into fellowship with him? If you've not experienced him? If you're not in the experience of dying with him and in the experience of living with him? How will you know? You can't. You can never have faith just in words. You understand that? Your faith must be in him. And it all comes down to what? Whether or not you are of that nature or the other. It's more than words. It's the reality of God. Now, there's more here I want to talk about, but I think this is a good place to stop, because you have a barometer here that you need to investigate. What is your faith based on? Wishful thinking? Words? Stories? Or have you met Jesus? Have you touched and handled and heard and seen? Have you experienced his crucifixion, that you might experience his life? Are those things not going on in you? Is this not your fellowship with God? Sharing in those things. Because I guarantee you, the only people in this room that are lost are the ones who don't understand what I'm talking about right now. And unfortunately, that's where the majority of those who think of themselves as Christian are. It's a fact. It's a good place to stop.